This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right. So, everybody okay tonight? Everybody seems a little down, maybe, huh? It's been cold. I don't know about you, I've been cold. I was telling my daughter in Florida, I'm like, man, here in Alaska, we don't show each other our tattoos, we just describe them to each other. Super funny. So, I don't know how you guys are doing, kind of feel a little bit of the temperature in the room. One of the things I do, I kind of suffer from some of the blues during this time of year. I go through it, you know, fight some of that darkness. I try not to take it in, you know, as my identity or there's something wrong with me. I really try to get curious about what it is. I've been listening to this guy he's on YouTube, he's got this channel. He just gives little tips about how he gets some things done. He talks about his workout, you know, really, really cool because he doesn't kid around about how depressed he is and how hard it is. And he says, you know, I'm going to show you how I get through a workout. You know, his video starts and he's got this depressed face in the morning. He's like, okay, here's how I get it done. He goes, all I'm going to do is I'm going to take the covers and I'm going to fling them off. And he goes, that's it. You know, I don't have it in me to do anything else. So he does it. He goes, now the temperature's kind of changed and I feel a little invigorated. He goes, all I'm going to do is put my feet on the floor and just feel the floor under my feet. Super cool. I mean, this guy's being really real. You can see the depression on him. And he feels the floor under his feet. And he goes, you know what? I'm not going to work out because I'm way too depressed. But I guess I'm willing to get dressed as if I was going to work out and see what that feels like. You know, just completely get dressed in my workout clothes and that'd be it. And then he goes through the layering he goes through up north and in the weather. And he puts on his entire outfit. And he goes, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good in this, you know, but I'm really depressed. I'm feeling a little bit better, he goes, but I'm just going to step out on my porch. He goes, just take a look around. And he steps out on his porch and he takes off running. Just takes off, right? I want you guys to know this guy is like a four-time world champion, mega ultra endurance athlete, like 100-mile races he wins. This is how he does it. Like, this guy is so real. He fights this deep blue funk. And I'm like, that's my guy. I don't get the guys all full of enthusiasm and supercharged all the time, but I get this guy because he speaks my language and I like it. And he's a champion. So I really, really like that. To me, I enjoy people being real and him being really honest. So I want to say Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, the Northern Lights Recovery Group, we're going to be upstairs. If you want to come get real, it's going to be kind of street. I'm going to be in the chair this Wednesday night kind of leading the subjects, but we're going to be able to go around, talk about different subjects and kind of get honest about where we're at in recovery, try to problem solve, you know, try to go for it. And I really, really enjoy Wednesday night up there. So I'll be up there. If you guys want to come out, 7 o'clock Wednesday, right upstairs. So tonight, I really feel like it's super important, guys, for us to get a real shot of identity. Get a real shot of who we are. Every week, I need to hear who I am. I need to hear how empowered I am as a person. I need to hear about the love of God, all this stuff every week, because 99.9% of the time out there in the world, everywhere else, you're going to hear the very opposite of what you're going to hear here at the Underground. You're going to hear all the things out there that you need to do to be okay, right? And in here, you're going to hear all the things that God has done to make you okay, who you are as a person. And they're very opposite. And so if 99% of the time I'm hearing an opposite message, I really love to get a good shot in the arm, a good dose of identity into this healing stuff, because this is what changes lives. It just changes lives. And across the board, I'm telling you, we've been doing this for a decade now. And when I see someone that's really transformed and it's true and it's real, when I get down to business, it comes down to their identity. It comes down to who they believe they are. So we're sticking to it. We're not backing down. Love it. So tonight I want to show you guys, I want to know the Bible better, show you more of the Old Testament. I kind of got this giant list of Old Testament people I wanted to kind of go through one at a time. Tonight's just going to be one. I want to talk a little bit about Naaman tonight. OK, Okay, Naaman's in 2 Kings chapter 5. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman. He's our target tonight, Naaman. The commander of his army, that's Naaman. Because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Okay, so here we go, right out of the gate. We have a mighty warrior, powerful military commander, super successful in what he does, second in command, only to the king himself. Like, what kind of guy is this, right? And he's also loved and respected by his king. I mean, just kind of get a picture of what this guy must be like, right? Great commander, very successful, loved and respected by his king. This is the dude we're looking at, right? So he had a problem, though, right? He had this skin disease, no cure for it back in this day. So it would take his life. It would be definitely fatal. So he's got a problem. Now, naturally, when we have a problem like this, think of it in terms of identity. He's thinking, you know, I'm a great commander, or I'm a leper. And this leprosy is creeping up on him pretty quick. So pretty soon, he's not going to be a great commander. He's going to be a leper. And this would be terrifying, right? Because it would make you an outcast and many other things. So, you know, this is the way naturally we would look at this problem. Now, we see this same dynamic in a lot of people, where people have homes and cars, bank account, success, but they got this problem, right? They got this addiction. They got this one thing in their past, or they got this temper problem, or whatever it is. They got a wound with a belief system around it, right? And so the tendency here, when people have all that going for them, if you relate to this guy, you know, if you have everything going for you, but you got this problem, here's the tendency. We see it all the time. And you guys that are working with people here definitely see it all the time as well. The tendency is to swoop in, try to get the answer, and then go back to your successful life. Just come in here, all right, give me the answer, give me the way it works, and then I'll go back to my isolated life of being successful, looking good, feeling good, and just let me get back on with my real life, right? That's kind of what we see. We see it a lot. So let's go on from here. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel. Okay, this is Naaman. He's invading land. And among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid or a slave. Okay, one day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to the prophet in Samaria and he would heal him of leprosy." So here we have it. Naaman and his army are doing these raids, and this girl in Israel gets taken from her family. She loses everything, and she's now a slave in Naaman's household. And she's telling Naaman's wife, if he went to this prophet, he could be healed. And this is a really crazy thing. We see this in Scripture a lot. And tell me who you identify with more in this story. We have a great commander, very successful in business, and in military, and in people, in power, authority, but he's got a problem. And here we have, in direct opposition, this contrast. We have a girl who has nothing but problems. All she has is loss. All she has is abuse. All she has is this giant wound, but she has a solution. Isn't that cool? Which one do you relate to more? Like, some of us will fall on one end or the other. I definitely relate more to her in my life, where I've had nothing but problems, but I found this solution. And it happens to be the solution to this guy's problem. It's pretty cool. I think it's really cool. All right, so let's check out what happens. Okay, so it says here, Naaman told the king what the girl had said. "Go and visit the girl from Israel," the king said. "I'll send a letter of introduction to you to take to the king." So Naaman started out carrying as gifts, check it out, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of very expensive clothing. So here he sets out. He's taking her very serious. Check it out. God's dealing with this guy. Something in what this girl is saying is tugging on his heart, because I'm sure he's hearing about a lot of different gimmicks, a lot of different things that are possible for his leprosy problem. He's probably pretty desperate, guys. But God's dealing with this guy, and she's speaking about this prophet in Israel, and he's going, you know what? There might be something to this. This might be it. And God's tugging on this guy's heart. So a couple of letters get sent. There's a misunderstanding between kings. But finally, Elisha gets word of this guy and says, bring this guy to me. You know, let's do this, right? He needs to know there's a prophet in Israel, right? So here we go. Here's the big showdown. You ready? If this is a movie, this would be the big scene. You've already got your popcorn. You're going for it. You don't even care if it's falling by the wayside because you're just staring at the screen. You don't even care. Like, get away. Here we go, right? Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. This must have been crazy, right? Like, could you imagine this? It'd be like some guy flying in on his private jet from L.A. or from California, landing with his entourage and his cars, and coming up to Farmer's Loop, right? Or something like that. No parking left at Elisha's house, that's for sure. Said, Elisha, this is what he does, though. This guy's sitting in his dry cabin, and he doesn't even go out to meet this guy. He sends his little buddy out to go tell him something. Didn't even go out and roll out the red carpet, nothing. Just says, go out there and tell him this, right? This is what he does. Because Elisha's led by God, right? Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Chena River. Right? All right, he says Jordan, but we're trying to put it in our terms. Then your skin will be renewed. It'll be restored. You'll be healed of your leprosy. Naaman became very angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out, and I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy, call on the name of the Lord his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of California better than the Chena River out here off the Steese? He names a couple rivers. He said, why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned, and he walked away in a rage. Like, this guy's super angry. I think this is so interesting, guys. Check it out. Naaman's getting squeezed, guys. He's getting squeezed the way we're going to get squeezed, the way a lot of us have been squeezed. And this is our God at work, you know. God's the hero of this story, and he's certainly the hero of my story. And I want you to know, Naaman came with 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of real expensive clothing that they could sell for huge amounts of money. He came from his land with his God and his chariots and his power and his authority, and he came to do business, to make a business deal with the God of Israel, our God. Check it out. We're his kids. We know what dad's going to do, right? He came to make a business deal with our God. That should make us all go, oh, ho, 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 right? We should try that. Ready? He came to make a business deal with the God of Israel. Oh, ha, 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 ha. That's laughable. Clearly, Naaman doesn't know our God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. Whoa. You know, he's way out of line. Our God is going to begin squeezing this dude in through the narrow way. And it's narrow. It's about to get narrower for this guy. Understand that where Naaman comes from, his belief system about his clean rivers and powerful rivers that flowed through and the land that is connected to, they're all connected to the God he serves back in his home. All of them. And those beautiful clean rivers that come through, they're connected to the blessings of God, the favor of God. And so for this guy to tell him, get down in that Chena River, in that dirty water, maybe I should say the Tanana, I don't know. That'd be really scary. But he tells him to get down to this nasty Jordan River is actually confronting his beliefs about God. He came to make a business deal. He came to come dip in, stay in his chariot, get the thunder of God, and leave back to his God, back to his ways, and you guys know God ain't going to let that slide. He's not going to let this guy go so easy. You know why? Because he sees Naaman's chariots. He sees Naaman's horses and his entourage, and he wants Naaman to know the thing that you guys know he wants Naaman to know. He wants Naaman to know, Naaman, I love you. I love you. Don't care about your dumb chariots. Don't care about your horses and your big power trip. I want you to know, standing in that chariot, Naaman, I love you. And if you want what I got, you're going to have to come meet me on my terms. And it's going to be about me and you. I'm going to need you to be really vulnerable, right? This is what he's telling this guy. And this guy knows it. That's why it made him so mad, right? He's loving on Naaman right now. Our God is love. That's the God we serve, guys. His love is legendary. When I tell people about our God, I say our God is love. And no one could top the love of our God. It's shaped like a cross. He would rather die on a cross than leave Naaman behind. He ain't gonna leave Naaman behind. Because God, our God, my God that I serve, the God of Israel, loves Naaman, the man. And he wants Naaman to know this. We could pull up to God in our Porsches, in our Ferraris, but I want you guys to know something. That Ferrari ain't going to fit through the narrow way. I don't know why that's so funny. It just is. He's asking Naaman, I want you to step out of the chariot. Come on out, Naaman. Get off your little chariot. I want you to take off your armor. I want you to walk away from your big entourage. I want you to come down this nasty river, and I got something for you. You know what, guys? There are things that when I die and I meet the Lord that I want to see. And I want God to take me back to this time where Naaman is standing. This guy is no joke, right? He's no joke. This guy's big stuff. He is no dummy. He's a very intelligent, super intelligent guy. Great commander. Tons of success. And he's sitting there staring at this river. And it's decision time. What's he going to do? Like, this is it. He is being so squeezed right now. And nothing in what God is asking him to do has flesh in it. He ain't going to look good. He ain't going to look powerful. He ain't going to look heroic. He's going to look dumb. He's going to look really vulnerable as he gets down into this muddy, nasty river. This is what he's going to look like. And there isn't anything in it that speaks his language in the way he knows life. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of our God, right? We trust in the name of our God. What does that mean, the name of our God? Anytime I hear the word name, I think identity. In the identity of our God. Who is God? God is love. You can trust in your chariots, Naaman. Trust in your horses. That'll keep you secure, make you significant. We're trusting in the love of God. And its power is a very different kind of power than this guy is used to. He doesn't know this language. So, guys, I'll tell you something right now. God will ask us to come out of our false self. Our protective personalities or our protective self that we develop. And he will use suffering and these kind of situations where we have no answer. He will use our suffering and our pain to remove the things we no longer need in life. I want you to know that there were times in my wife's life, in her history, you guys maybe have listened to some of her story and the horrific events of her past, and there are ways that she learned to cope with those things that went on, and those things helped her survive. They helped her stay sane. But there came a time when the Lord stood with her relationship with God, and he said, Glenna, I want you to trust me. You don't need those ways anymore. I'm going to give you something superior and it's going to be scary, but I want to remove that from you. And we've watched her do that. I've watched her do it. It's amazing. When we talk about the false self, we're talking about early development stuff. I'm not going to go way into it, but I'll tell you, the evacuation of our false self and false fronts is oftentimes extremely painful. And God wants to remove those things from us so our true center, our true self, can rise and step up to the plate. Sometimes, guys, for the first time. How do you know you're in your false self? Do you ever feel like you're different in some situations around people than other times? Like you catch yourself being very different, saying very different things, portraying yourself in a different way? Like the false self is an actor. And who is he acting like? He's acting like you. Right? But he's just an actor. It's not really you. Everybody has this stuff, especially if you've got a real rough past. I don't know how many of you have seen that the movies Men in Black, the Men in Black movie. But it's kind of like this. You know, when that big giant cockroach, you know, and the guy didn't have any can of Raid that was that big. The big cockroach swallowed the guy's gun, you know. So he tricks the thing into swallowing him. You know, like he himself gets swallowed, right? And then he wiggles himself down into this bug, gets a hold of his own gun, and then blows the thing up from the inside. That's our God. That's the way God is, right? He gets himself down on the inside, then boom, I'm coming out, right? And I think that's amazing because our God, you know, I look at this scripture and I just sit in my house and laugh, go, man, Jesus knows how to get smuggled into a situation just like that roach. And boy, is he good at it. Look at how he smuggled himself in right in the middle of this dude's game. His whole problem, his whole life, Jesus wiggles his way down in. And there he stands loving on Naaman. And I am just so impressed with God. He's such a genius. God is such a genius. I love it. Our false self is always about survival, right? It protects us from things. And so, you know, we think it's protecting us, but what it's really doing is imprisoning us. It keeps us in a prison. Because when someone loves my false self, I know, standing back here behind all that, they don't love me. They're loving my false self. They're loving the fake me. They don't really love me. So I never really get loving. I don't ever really get loving because they're loving my fake me, right? I forget who I was talking to, telling a little bit about, I won't go into this either, but, you know, I used to take a lot of pills. And for many, 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 many years, several decades, I took a lot of chemicals. And it gave me a protective personality that was aggressive and that was confident and it was strong, and I could do a lot of work for a long period of time, and I had this. But when I took those pills and laid them before God, and he asked me, like, I want the pills. Like, give me the pills. Lay them down, Stan. Like, I got you. I got you. And I laid those pills down, and I stepped out from behind that protective personality. I'm telling you guys, that was one scary scary thing. And I became very weak, didn't have a work ethic, didn't have a backbone, little shaky, skinny legs. Hey, I could line up people, I could use people for an example, say, you represent pornography, you're drugs, you know, you're my big temper problem I have, and then slowly have them step aside until the real me is standing back here, nothing to protect me, but I have the Lord. And he'll walk with me, and maybe I'm pretty frail, maybe I'm pretty frightened, but guess who I've got, right? Guess who's standing with me? What do I want here, right? Okay, I'll show you this. So here's your true self. This isn't a real high-tech diagram, but I just want to show you this. There's your true me. You just say that for yourself, you know, true me, that's you. And we develop this stuff. That could be my body right there. This is my body. And then I got this temper that protects me. And then I got these chemicals I'm relying on, right? And then I have maybe my performance. And you could just go on and on and on and on, right? And what God's asking Naaman to do, what he's asking us to do, is he's just starting to eat away. Come on, dude. Come on, Naaman. Step out of your chariot. Step away from your men. Step away from your armor. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm doing? Like, I know that's really simple, but it's pretty powerful stuff. There came a time in the life of Jesus, because he knew who he was. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. That's his identity, and that's spiritual. It's not even physical, it's spiritual. Like, who you are as a spirit is who you are. And there came a time in Jesus' life when what God was doing in his life, it no longer served Jesus and God both the same. Never, no longer served them for him to stay in his body. And Jesus, being the way he was, so trusting in his Father's love, stepped out of his body just like that. To move in the same direction the Father's moving, he stepped out of his body and just trusted what God was doing. So with Naaman here, what he's wanting to do with Naaman, he's wanting to love on him. I want to love you, Naaman. That's what he's after. So, let's finish this. Naaman's officers tried to reason with him and said, you know, if the prophet had told you to do something real difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey when he said simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times as the man of God instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child. He was healed. And there's a lot more there to look at. That is amazing. Down in that nasty river, guys, he said, come on, Naaman, I want you to join the beloved. You guys want to be one of the beloved, right? How do you do that? Here's how he's telling Naaman, I want you to be loved. Come on down here. Got something for you in a place you wouldn't expect. Guys, we get the same reaction from people when they tell us about a problem they've got. Maybe they'll come in and Glenna will step out of the office and go, oh, you know, you've got this issue? Well, we have a 12-step group, a recovery group, meets upstairs Wednesday night. What? That nasty river? Those 12-step groups? Yuck. That doesn't make me look good. That doesn't make me feel good. Don't you have something? I thought you'd come out and put oil on your hands and boom, you know, bam, and then I go back to my life of success. 12-step group looks kind of gross, right? Looks like this nasty Jordan River. And we get that reaction, right? Check it out. I brought just a small handful of Jordan Rivers. Sexual wounds and trauma. We got this Jordan River here. And people look at it and go, ugh. They walk away in a rage, right? I don't want to do that. And we're talking about doing this with people. You know, 3 or 4 people, one-on-one. With another human being, telling them, sharing with them. Check it out. We got Genesis process. Yeah, this is bad to the bone. Huh? Come on. Jordan River. That's a Jordan River. You want to get in that thing? Get in that thing. Identity series. Boom. This is the bomb for me. You know, if I had my hands free, I'd be applauding. Pornography addiction, 7 pillars of freedom. I just brought these little rivers up here. Say, you know, you can jump in these rivers. And it says 7 times he dipped in that river. In other words, until the job is done. Don't dip in and out. Come on. Do it again. And do it again. That's amazing. If I was standing on the side of that river, he'd probably come out and punch me in the mouth. Come on, do it again. Do it again. And then I'm ready to run. Because I know I'm being annoying. What was that I used to say, Glenna, about I was on this flight I think I was annoying the pilot because I think he wanted me to shut up because he kept saying to me, shut up. Oh, never mind. All right. I already messed that joke up. So Naaman tried to pay him for the healing. He was so grateful. Naaman was rocked by this. Super grateful. He tried to give him all that money and stuff. And the God of Israel, the God we serve, made it very clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. It's on the house, Naaman. It's on the house. My love is my love for you, and I'm about being free. I give it to you. I give it to you. It's not a business deal. I love you. Listen, I love you. I love you. I love you in a way that would go all the way to the cross for you. That's the kind of love I have for you. My love looks like a cross. I would be ripped apart, standing in the way of any harm coming to you. I will do whatever it takes for you to be part of my family and be with me. That's bad to the bone. That's super, you're talking about tough love. That's some tough love right there. All right, so this is a process called repentance and faith. I'm going to use some religious terms. Repentance means I no longer believe this. I now believe this. Like I no longer that I am loved because I have chariots and horses and authority and power and the king loves me. I no longer believe it. I believe I am loved by God as Naaman, the human being that God loves. Because I am here and I'm a human being and a person, God loves me. And that's what I choose to believe from this day forward. That's repentance and faith, guys. That's repentance and faith. I am now a loved person. That's pretty amazing. Do you see yourself in the kingdom of God as someone under the table, hoping for crumbs? Or do you really see yourself at the king's table and you have a place and you have a plate set for you and you're being served? And guess what the Bible says about that? Guess who's putting the plate on the table for you? Jesus. He's giving it to you. He's putting the plate on the table in the presence of your enemies. This is how he is. This is our God. This is my Father. This is how he is. This is how he does things. So when we talk about accountability in our phone calls to each other, in our groups, it's not just about, did you act out this week? Did you do the thing? Did you use? It's not just that. It's really about, did you connect? Did you connect with the Father's love for you this week? Are you a loved person, and how are you getting that done? Are you connecting with another brother, another sister in a way that says, I am loved by God? Connecting that way. If you're not doing, let me tell you something. It talks about us knowing God. And the word know God is the same words as a sexual term meaning being one. And if you're not doing that with God, you're doing it with something. You will do it with something because we need union. I need oneness. I need connection. And I need it on such a high level. I was designed to have intimacy with God and people. And if I'm not after that, I'm going to find a different way to deal with it. I'm just going to do that. And I hope that really hits home. Are you becoming more and more of a loved person? Now, in my closing here, I want to say, let me ask you guys who you relate to, who you'd want to relate to more. The guy before the river or the guy after the river? Right? Anybody want to say? Like across the board, after, right? Same with you guys. People are tired of your pre-river stuff. Right? They want post-river people. Let's jump in. It's not going to feel good. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be gross. It's going to be humbling. It's going to be revealing. There's some yucky stuff. Like if I just started reading right there, you'd be like, eh. Yeah. But people will much, they want to relate to you after the river. Because check out Naaman after the river. He was a brand new person. And that's what he wants to do with you. That's what he wants to do with me. when we step out from our false self, the true you doesn't look for differences of how you stand out, how special you are, how amazing you are compared to people. You'll actually view people in how you're the same. Like you're like me. In other words, Jesus would treat the janitor and the CEO exactly the same. He'd say, you're a person that needs my love. Bottom line. And that's what we're called to do. And when we let God make us part of his family, bring us into his family, we'll see each other as brothers and sisters. If we're brothers and sisters, the comparison game's over. We're all loved. We're brothers and sisters. That means we have the same father. And we can celebrate. Isn't that cool? All right, let me pray. Father, thank you so much for naming the story. Thank you that Naaman had the courage for all of us to see this decision to make. And whatever it is you're asking us to do, Lord, I pray that we would all have the courage to take that step, even if it makes us look dumb and feel awkward. We would have our river experience. And it awaits for all of us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.